Welcome to Smith Weekly Discussions, an occasional program for our members of Smith Weekly Research. Please note this program is a private discussion and everything contained herein is for entertainment and educational purposes only. With that, we hope you're in a comfortable position along with your favorite beverage to enjoy the discussion. We remind our audience to examine the show notes attached to each of our shows to better understand how our program functions. Before we get into our discussion, we want to say thanks for questions coming from our audience at Smith Weekly, including Craig S., Jackie A., Mike P., and Brent S. Returning guest on the program today, Mr. Alex Klinman is with us. Alex is the Chief Executive Officer at Tisdale Clean Energy. The company is focused on the South Falcon East Uranium Project that has an existing historic 43-101 mineral resource of 6.9 million pounds of uranium with expansion potential. The project is under earn-in agreement with Sky Harbor Resources, of which Tisdale can earn up to a 75% interest in the project. South Falcon East is situated in the southeast Athabasca Basin between exploration grounds held by Rio Tinto and North Shore Uranium, and about 60 kilometers to the east of the Key Lake mine. Tisdale Clean Energy is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange under the symbol TCEC, as well as on the U.S. OTC markets under the symbol TCEFF. Alex, good to have you back on the program. Welcome.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be back and happy to get some new followers into what we think is a really compelling story.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Good to chat again. Well, why don't we dive right into Tisdale here and get updates first. How about you give us a review of the phase one drill program that has been completed and the results so far coming out of that program?
Our first order of business this year was to begin to do some confirmation drilling at the Fraser Lakes B deposit, which is contained within the larger South Falcon East project ground. As you mentioned, it's near a 7 million pound historic resource. So really for us, the last holes that were put down were done by Sky Harbor, our option partner, Sky Harbor Resources in 2015. They had some of the higher grade hits in that program. The average grade of the deposit is 0.03%. The numbers that Sky Harbor drilled in 2015 were as high as 0.172%. So quite a difference. And so we really wanted to get in there and twin a couple of holes and get close to the mineralization. For our own purposes, we need to begin to confirm the known mineralization. We were able to do that in the first two holes. We got hits as high as 0.11%. So we're in a good position. This mineralization was right where we thought it would be. We were a little off twinning the best hole that Sky Harbor did. There was an equipment malfunction in 2015 that forced them to leave casing and steel in the hole. So we really couldn't get as close to that hole as we wanted. Nevertheless, we still hit the zone that they ran into. And that's a good start to what we hope will be a phase two here coming up over the summer.
And with that, why don't we cover real quick, what is the goal as far as phase two in the summertime here into the fall? As far as those next targets you plan to hit, as far as confirmation drilling of the existing deposit that we know is already there, but also maybe a little bit of maverick shot out there to test something else that you guys found compelling, because obviously your technical team has good experience with this deposit and also in the basin. But just talk about what you would expect on the phase two program and the time frame again to land this program.
Yeah, that's a great question, because there is an internal debate regarding how we approach phase two. Obviously, what we'd like to do is continue to drill numbers. We're early in our life as a public company. We want to determine the parameters of the known deposit. That hasn't been done yet. It's open in virtually every direction. And so it's funny, you know, retail investors really like results. They like to see numbers. But from a technical standpoint, you know, we need to know what the parameters of the deposit or what the physical dimensions of this deposit is. So, you know, we have to drill some misses in order to do that. Obviously, it's not going to continue to be open in every direction forever. That's, you know, a physical impossibility. So we need to start, you know, balancing how many holes go into no mineralization, when are we comfortable enough to say, okay, we believe the numbers that were put out by JNR, the company that had the project before Sky Harbor, and then the numbers that Sky Harbor put out, and balance that with the need to, you know, step out some holes, as you call them, maverick holes, perhaps, to test the parameters and the size and the dimensions of the known deposit. Also, what we have at South Falcon East, in a broader sense, is this Way Lake conductor, which runs through the project ground. It is our feeling, and not just ours, but the Sky Harbor geos as well, that there are additional deposits to be found along that conductor. So at some point, I don't know how quickly, we're going to begin to start stepping out and moving into some of the other more priority target zones along the Way Lake conductor, because we do believe very strongly that there are additional deposits to be found at or near the current position of the Fraser Lakes B deposit.
I suppose stay on the project for a moment, and then we'll come back into some other things here in a moment, like valuation, peer comparables, and the such, capital structure, and some other stuff. How about how you see the advancement of this project, Alex? I mean, for one, yes, it's an exploration company that does have the potential to expand. Obviously, you guys can go off and work on other projects in the basin, as we've well seen with lots of other companies poking holes in different places, mostly without success. But with respect to this project, the fact that we have a deposit on hand, talk a little bit about future steps in terms of what the next logical step is to, you know, obviously expansion of the resource is a given, but also what do you see as next on economic studies, viability for extraction, advancing discussions with counterparties which might have an interest here? What are your thoughts on that?
Let me start with this. We believe very strongly we can not only improve and increase the size of this deposit, but also the grade. There are some hits that JNR managed as high as 0.24%. So, you know, what, that's almost a 700, if not more than a 700% increase over the grade of the deposit. We know that. So we think there's a high grade feeder in the neighborhood, and we're going to pursue the discovery of it or the confirmation of it. It looks likely that it's very near where the previous drilling's been. So there's that. In terms of advancing, so we're a 5 million market cap. We can actually bring into discussion now the early idea that we can pursue production in a very short period of time, whether that's through ISR or traditional basin methods. We're looking into that. We know that, you know, for example, ISR works economically with lower grade near surface deposits, and typically you don't find that in the basin because everything along the main corridor there is buried under overburden. So it's a different beast altogether. But yes, we will and have already begun to look at production scenarios. We would rather start those conversations today than wait to do it. I think we have a very unique situation. There are not a lot of deposits out there. There are drill holes, but drill holes need to be replicated. They need to be replicated 20, 30, 40, 50 times in an area that, you know, in a close proximity to one another. That's how you find a deposit. And there's a lot of companies that have holes, but they do need to drill more. But we're already there. We have a small deposit that is within reach of reaching double digits in terms of millions of pounds. You know, 10 million pounds is a nice target for this, if not more, but let's call it 10 million. So a few more holes, a couple of years of drilling, depending on how capitalized we are. I mean, we'll drill as much as humanly possible. But the very fact that here we are at a 5 million market cap, being able to have actual conversations about not only, say, offtake agreements, but also, you know, the ability to look at actual production on a 10 million pound deposit. I mean, that's a rarity, if not completely wholly unique to Tisdale.
Alex, thank you for that. One follow-up there on this. There is the various methodologies that can be applied here, and work needs to be done to confirm this. And obviously, that would be an ongoing process in parallel to the expansion drilling of the deposit. But, you know, as far as ISR amenability, other technologies, as well as conventional, just talk a little bit about that, because Tisdale has a connection to relationships with respect to those items. And just talk a little bit about that side of it as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that, and what you're alluding to there is obviously our JV or earn-in partner is Sky Harbor Resources. We recently announced their CEO, Jordan Trimble, coming on board with us in an advisory capacity. So our earn-in partner, eventually JV partner, the CEO is already working with us to facilitate the agreement to add value in terms of his knowledge, his ability to articulate the uranium situation. I mean, he's among the best at that in the business. He's built a small microcap to almost 100 million market cap. They're extremely well funded. They have JVs and earn-ins with companies like Rio Tinto. We have the ability to access bigger, more impressive companies and would be able to leverage some of the relationships that, say, Jordan has, and bring them at least into introductory conversations with Tisdale very early on. In our life as a public company. So very unique, very different, very compelling. Again, I would, you know, urge your listeners to go do their due diligence and research who's doing what in the basin and find another market cap like us with these, you know, add-ons, with these positives that we can line up in our corner. I mean, just having Sky Harbor as an active partner. I mean, I've done a JV with them in the past. I've done an earn-in in the uranium space with them in the past. And in this case, obviously, there's far more interest from their perspective because of the deposit. We're all working towards the same goal, which is, you know, the earn-in survives, the earn-in works, and they have a lively partnership with us. So I'm hopeful things are going to go that way, and absolutely going to utilize the boatload of connections that come with having Sky Harbor close to the deal.
I'll humbly admit that I was not aware that Mr. Trimble came on board there on the new advisory committee. So I really do appreciate that. And I think that once again is interesting to point out there. So I appreciate that tip to the audience. And I'm sure that they can appreciate that too, especially the folks that are aware of Sky Harbor. It certainly is a company that's been in the sector for quite some time, and most people know the name of that company. I'd like to talk about the peer companies and comparables valuations. We don't have to, of course, get into any names here, Alex. I think most folks know who they are out there. But first, talk about that competitive advantages that you see that Tisdale has against comparable stage peers. I can think of just roughly off the top of my head here, about six to seven comparable stage peers. I'd like to have you just talk a little bit about those competitive advantages that you see Tisdale has against those peers. And even when you look at the comparable peers, are there peers that have either an existing deposit or the right to earn into an existing deposit? So I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, that's you've just delivered the perfect question because the passion I have for this deal, this opportunity really revolves around the answering this question. So I look around, I see, you know, pure exploration companies with big names and lots of people behind them, and maybe some that don't have anybody behind them, but they're all trading at three, four, five times our market cap. And I understand the path they're on. I've been involved with an explorer for quite a while in the basin, and I know the path to discovery can be a long, arduous, and expensive one. And it requires a lot of patience, but that's the nature of uranium discovery. It's not simple. You can have conductors, you can have graphite, you can have anomalous uranium in the system. You can even have alteration. You can even have clays, but it's going to take a while to find it. And there are a few who buck the odds and find it early out of the gate, but the majority don't. F3 comes to mind. You know, I mean, it took a while to find the big hole. Now, where we're at and compared to others is they're going to need to raise 15, 20, $25 million over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. You take your pick. Anyone who doesn't have a deposit is going to have to find one. In order to do that, it's going to take capital and it's going to take time. It's also going to take an experienced geologist, which is a whole other discussion to have, but I'll stick to where I'm going here. And the reality is that if you want to call that overhang, you call it overhang, but then don't be naive is my message to a lot of people that these companies are going to, they're going to be the one half of the 1% that makes that discovery and are then able to replicate those drill holes 2 dozen, 3 dozen, 4 dozen times. That's how you get to where essentially we are at today. Now we have to earn that deposit, earn the majority interest in that deposit. But we're going to deploy similar capital that these companies are going to deploy in the hopes they're going to find something, where our capital is actually going to, if you will, buy the pounds that are already there. Yes, we'd like to increase the size, so we're going to do some exploration. But to me, that there isn't another peer, so to speak, in no one, certainly in the 5 million market cap range, that can offer that. And to me, that's a remarkable opportunity. It's an opportunity that I believe in. I mean, I'm buying the stock. I bought it in the open market again today and yesterday. I'll buy the dips. I'll add to my position because I believe that it's only a matter of time before we do get a positive re-rate. There's only one outcome here, and that is the development of a deposit. Whether that means it's 10 or 12 million pounds at a higher grade, or it's simply 7 million pounds at the grade it is today, if we're able to fund this company over the next 5 years, we will own the majority interest in a deposit. And it may happen sooner than 5 years. There's no set, you know, it's not like we have to do it over five. We can do it over three if we're capitalized enough to do it over three. But that's a different value proposition. And there isn't, I think, another one out there. Yes, there are holes. There are companies that have really spectacular holes, higher grade holes. But they're going to have to spend a lot of money and drill enough to delineate a deposit. And then from there, you know, that could be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Let's say it's 5 years from now, because it could take a while. If that's the case, we may be on the other side of the uranium bull that is just in the beginning stages today. So I really believe that this is the crux of what makes Tisdale unique, really a remarkable opportunity at this juncture.
Alex, I appreciate that. Good comments. And when I look at some of these, and as some of our audience knows, we're not exactly the basin experts and never profess to be experts on anything, but certainly the basin is quite crowded these days, and we don't necessarily have all of the staff to be able to place staff on every company, but we have spent enough time here to see who's new on the block and who's existing and who the players are, and so we have a good grasp of that. You know, the other thing is too, Alex, is as ISR in the basin is demonstrated and proven, yet to be seen for sure, but I think there are some very highly likely scenarios that can work out really well there. And also too, in a robust pricing environment, and depending on the structure, that even smaller deposits can work out. And obviously when you have the price in your favor, they can work out with some leverage as well. And so I think that that's also interesting to think about with respect to people looking at ISR methodologies or conventional. Obviously the ore body has to line up to make sure that ISR works, et cetera. I think one of the other things, and I'll couple what I just said there with any comments you had, but also you touched on it just a little bit, these peer companies have the burden of discovery, basically live and die by the drill bit, essentially. The overhang for them is that capital raise to supply those drill results on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
And for Tisdale, it's a little bit different in the sense that you're essentially expanding what is already known there and confirming to some degree enough to get that historic 43-101 up to current 43-101, et cetera, which that work obviously is ongoing here with phase one completed and moving into phase two, and that'll happen over the next few years. One of the things that I've heard out there is, you know, Tisdale has this earn-in overhang, which is the equal to the overhang I just mentioned with peer company exploration greenfield folks that don't even have drill results to show anything. Talk about the overhang in the sense that, first of all, responsible progress is being made to satisfy the counterparty potentially, and that also there's obviously discretion here, there's obviously market conditions, and there's obviously the other part to this as well. This is a number of years left in this earn-in, and I think the market is generally discounting the work that's being done here on this front, and then also the relationship as a result of that overhang. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, again, a great question. I like your questions because they are multi-layered and they allow me the ability to riff, which I really like to do in a conversation. So well said and well presented. So a couple things to expand on your question. Yes, 100% you are correct. Every single exploration stage company, every greenfield company is selling a bill of goods right now. They're usually saying, well, we're in the neighborhood. Look who's to the west. Look who's to the east. Look who we're near. We have conductive packages, or we have early stage geological results, usually in the form of IP surveys or gravity surveys, that indicate we may have fertile ground. From that to discovery to deposit is not a linear short space time frame. It is a lot of luck, a lot of capital. So the overhang, don't be misled by a good deck. The overhang is there. It's for everyone. Our overhang is simply going to the buying of the deposit as it sits and the potential expansion of that deposit. So no one else can, I think, say that. And you know, I may be wrong, but I certainly don't. I'm not aware of another deposit that's been made available to a small cap. My relationship with Jordan goes back a decade. I was and still am the CEO of another company, and we managed to earn in during tough times with $20 spot. We managed to do that. I'm not necessarily afraid of the capital raise issue here and that overhang, and I'll tell you why. On the other company I speak of, I was able to raise almost $18, $19 million for a pre-discovery company. The reason I was able to do that was the market cap was $8 to $10 million and more at times. Right now, Tisdale's market cap prevents a flow through institutional money to come into the deal. That'll change over time. When the market cap grows, I'll be able to access flow through funds. Certainly, I'll be able to find funds that are uranium specific or uranium specific investors who see that their capital is going into a far less risky venture on the development of a deposit than it would be going into any number of these newly constituted uranium companies or even older ones that are still looking for that, you know, big drill hole or the delineation of a deposit. So we have this, you know, really unique opportunity in terms of the, of having the deposit as the basic starting point. I know people have expressed concern over the obligations because there is a fair amount of capital, tune about $10 million worth of development in the ground and several million more in cash payments to Sky Harbor Inn and lots of stock. But all, none of that frightens me. In fact, I would rather be in this position than faced on the other side of the ledger, which is I still have to do that type of capital raising, still have to make sure we're funded to make discovery and then replicate that discovery hole, you know, two, three, four dozen times. So this is a much easier path, no matter how you look at it. And if you believe in the uranium thesis that we're sitting in now, which is we're at the maybe the second leg up of a massive move, a generational move, then you have to also understand that there's going to be a lot of capital available in this space over the next two, three, 4 years. So again, capital's going to go, I think it's going to be an easier path for a company like Tisdale to fund this obligation than it would be for a pure exploration play after you've drilled several holes or you've spent $2, $3, $4 million in the ground and you haven't come up with much yet. To go back to the same well after those results is not a simple thing. And I think, you know, knowing that you're going to get results here will make that path to the fundraising side of this obligation less burdensome than people might think.
I am not finding a peer company of this class and market cap size that actually has this type of arrangement in the basin. I'm not seeing it. Whether other stuff is available out there, I do think that's subjective in the sense that at what price is that available? And of course,
right.
You know, Alex, we can think of some folks we can go offer a massive sum to right now and have access via earn-in or something just because of the overvaluation of what we offered. But definitely, I think that that's a good piece to point out to the audience is I am struggling to find a exact comparable in the basin that's anywhere close. That's interesting. I think, again, reminding the audience, look, go do some of your own homework. I mean, if you're in this sector and you have genuine interest, go do some of your own homework or follow some people who have done some good homework already or have spent a lot of time in the sector for many years and understand it. Two different routes there or mix it up a little bit. Now, on capital structure, Alex, we were just talking a little bit about capital. Talk shares outstanding at this point. Talk about the cash position. You mentioned buying yourself as well earlier. Mm-hmm. So maybe talk about your holdings. Mm-hmm. And also if investors can expect a capital raise at some point in the future and if they can participate.
Absolutely. Well, here's the reality of being a microcap is unfortunately you're always in a fundraising mode. That's just you never say no. You can't say no. You have to take money when it's available because that's the nature of microcap, the world of microcaps. I don't have the luxury of sitting on anything here. I do have to make the earn-in obligations. I do want to capitalize on interest in the sector. Now is the time. Yes, there will always be raises. The current base floor for raises has been 18 cents. There have been the majority of the raises in Tisdale have been above 40 cents. So we have a really good capital structure. Now there's been a lot of cycling of stock down in this 15 to 18, 20 cent range since last fall. Again, we're liquid to a certain degree. We get your typical day traders and algorithms in there with us. But again, once the story is understood widely, once the continuation of drilling occurs and we continue to earn, again, the one question you had was the satisfaction of obligations. We are up to date on those. We are heading on a path that will make sure the 2024 obligations are met. And in a perfect world, I'm able to raise enough capital into the fall, let's say, and I'm whatever drill program we can put together in the fall will begin to chip away at the earn-in obligations that are due in 2025. So I'd like to be ahead of that game and drill more in 2024. We'll see how that goes. I do have interest from some prominent and well-known investors. They're circling the deal. They like what they see. I think there's a little bit of a nervous feel out there because of the current retracement. But many people understand that these retracements are part and parcel with larger moves, and nothing goes straight up in it, nor should it. You do need to have these moves, these retracements. They're healthy for the overall. But that ne nevertheless, we're fighting that sort of perception, and also, I mean, other commodities have gotten super hot and they're taking capital off the table. But again, I'm not concerned about those earning. The earn-in obligations. We will always be in a fundraising mode. And yes, anytime we announce a placement, anyone can participate. Obviously, have to meet accredited investor status in Canada to do so. I want and need retail participation. Retail holders are great to have. Institutional money comes with some danger, some risk, particularly flow through. That's how a lot of work is conducted in the basin. Flow through funds are massive, and they put a lot of capital in, and it's one way to make sure the work gets done. But right now, I mean, we have working capital. We need more money to drill. It's coming, I believe. So I'm waiting to see how things turn out here, and we may make an announcement in the next month. In so far as the ability to get more drills in the ground in the short term. It's I'm not about to go risk what we have in the treasury on drilling and then hope that we can raise more money later on. I think it's best to find drill money now in so far as it being flow through eligible. I know that there's with the budget announcements up here recently, there's some changes to flow through and there's a little bit of an urgency to get flow through done before, June or at the end of June. So I think there'll be a lot of flow through funds available in the next 30 to 60 days. So I'm going to be patient. I'm going to see where that's at. Our capital structure at 31 million out right now is really good. It's a little tight, to be honest with you, and I know some people probably shake their head at that. But if you want, institutional support, you need to have 50, 60, 70 million shares out at some point, and you need to be liquid within that parameter. That is how you get funded. It's a lot harder to get institutional money into deals that are way too tightly structured. They just won't do it. They need liquidity. That's the bottom line. And unfortunately, it speaks to their business model, but that's the way it works. We can't fight that. It is what it is. So I'm not too concerned at this point about being too dilutive. I mean, I'll raise as we go along. In a perfect world, we're raising it into the next leg up at a much higher price. But I think it's best that we drill more between now and then and go into the next leg with some momentum from drilling.
And Alec, with that, any comments on the shareholding, specifically some of the demographic?
Well, obviously, we have some high net worth individuals who are in the deal. No specific funds per se at this point. I like to speak to my own position. I have about 3.5, 3.6% myself. I'm at about 1.3 million shares between a corporate entity that I own outright and myself personally. I was in the market today. You can go to SetEye and see my buys. I mean, I'm not Frank Giustra, so I don't have millions of dollars to put into my own deal, but I am a hardworking guy who puts his capital into the deal. I've spent, you know, over $200,000 to get it to where it's at today, and I'm happy to continue to do it. I believe strongly in the idea that we're going to end up in a certain place in a certain time. And that's why I'm putting my money in down here at 13, 14, 15 cents. I think it's a slam dunk. If I had more capital at my fingertips, I would buy more. But at the end of the day, I'm satisfied where I'm at. 3.6% is a good starting point for me. And eventually, I should mention Sky Harbor has a good position at a little over a million shares. That is going to increase over the life of the earn-in obligations and the earn-in agreement. And that's another reason why I think it's good to have Jordan on an advisory. The shares that Sky Harbor holds in Tisdale will be, you know, a ledger item in their financials. So they're going to want to ensure that we're healthy. And if that means being flexible, if that means, you know, helping us get the deal to a point where the market evaluation is solid, that's going to benefit them. That's always a nice thing to have. And I think the more that they earn in, or the more that they get in terms of equity position in the company, the more that we earn in the deal, the better it is for that scenario. And I think it's just a logical outcome of being close to Sky Harbor.
You know, obviously, with that relationship and the recent news that someone can tie together, that you have access to additional technical expertise to assist. And of course, from the standpoint of obviously the in-house expertise being in Mr. Perkins there as well, right. I think that I think people can put together that, hey, we can lean upon our partner here to assist with certain things and provide feedback on certain things. And obviously with the appointment there on the advisory board, that, you know, it's pretty clear that there's a desire to see this move forward and continue.
Let me just throw another comment in here, because we're going to move on to another topic perhaps here, and I'm jumping in. But you mentioned Trevor Perkins. One of the byproducts of that long bear market from Fukushima until, say, 2021, was a lot of qualified uranium-specific geologists aged out in the basin. So they weren't replaced. At $18, $20, $22 spot, there was not a lot of capital, there were not a lot of jobs, and most companies were on care and maintenance. There wasn't a lot of exploration or drilling going on beyond the majors. So now there is a bit of capital. Most of these newer geologists coming into the basin are young, and they haven't really got years of experience behind them. What you're finding with the inundation of new companies in the space, which happens anytime a commodity gets hot, there's always, you know, another 100 or 200 new public companies that are capitalizing on the flavor of the day or the interest in that commodity. But not a lot of them are going to be able to bring basin experienced geologists into the fold. There's just not enough of them. We're lucky that Trevor's attached to this deal. He's made some large discoveries. He led the team at Cameco that made the MacArthur River North extension discovery that turned out to be 110 million pounds. He's made other discoveries around the world. So we're another thing, you know, another box that Tisdale ticks off is uranium experience, both at the management level, but also at the senior geologist level. And I think that is not something that should be overlooked, particularly when you have as many options now to invest in the basin and explorers. I think you really need to find uranium expertise, uranium experience, and particularly, most importantly, on the geological side.
Alex, why don't we leave it there for this update? Any closing comments, of course, but with the final question. For potential investors who are listening in, the company has a market capitalization of about 4.5 million Canadian dollars. Why should Tisdale Clean Energy be considered within the institutional, family office, and retail investors' portfolio at this stage?
Oh. You got another 20 minutes for me to answer that question. I'll try and be as quick and concise as possible. The list is long in terms of reasons why this is a good place to look. Obviously, the de-risked environment of starting with a deposit is a massive positive. This is a shallow deposit. It has indications of high-grade material that's sourced nearby. It's a big enough project. There's enough other exploration ground that if we were just an exploration play without the deposit, we'd be attractive. So there's that. The ability here to capitalize on the earn-in potential of a deposit, a shallow deposit, is unique. It's compelling. The money that's invested into this company will go to the development of a deposit, not for the hope that we may find a drill hole that we then would have to replicate, you know, as I mentioned, 3, 4, 5 dozen times. Quick analogy I like to use is very simple, and that's, you know, there's a lot of cars in the pits right now putting tires on and getting their engines ready to get into the race. We're already on the track. We've been there and we're there. We have all of the things you need. At this, there's a huge disconnect at a 4.5 million market cap. It might have to do with the earn-in, the perception that the earn-in is heavy. Again, we address that. There's no viable exploration play out there that doesn't have this same sort of overburden. You're going to have to raise $10, $15 million to drill enough. And the issue that they have is, A, that we know that the percentage of exploration plays that actually turn into deposits is very, 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 very slim, very low. There's that. But then, you know, you also have to be able to raise the money. You have to deploy it appropriately. You have to get a little luck, and you have to, all this has to happen in 3 to 4 or 5 years. It can take a lot longer than that. And there are a lot of companies that will tell you that. I know of them. We know of them. They're easy to spot. They're easy to research. All good people, all following reasonable timelines for success, but that's the nature of it. What do we have here in terms of runway in the uranium space? Do we have 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? We know it's not going to be 10 years. We know it's going to end at some point. We're going to be on the other side of this at some point. Can those other companies raise enough capital, have enough luck and success with drilling to get to where we're almost at today? We don't have the majority interest in this deposit, but all we have to do is raise enough capital and can continue to drill. Again, maybe have a little luck in terms of grade and finding other deposits, but we have, you know, exceptional opportunity to do so. I just don't think there's anything else out there like this. And I think over time, we're going to wake up to a re-rating that makes more sense than it does today.
Alex, thank you for that. And then also just the last thing here, Alex, for folks who are listening in and maybe folks that took interest here, how can those parties reach out to the company?
The easiest way, honestly, is email info@tisdalecleanenergy.com. Go to the website. There's phone numbers on there as well. Give me a call. I am available. I'm a CEO that doesn't have a wall of VPs or IR personnel in front of me. I answer the phone. I like to talk to potential investors and investors that have become shareholders. So give me a call. I'm happy to discuss the deal. I'm happy to discuss the opportunities contained therein. Look forward to hearing from any interested parties.
Alex, thank you for that. Well, I appreciate the time. Keep up the work over there at Tisdale, and looking forward to seeing more progress this year. Thank you, Alex.
Andrew, thanks so much. Always appreciate it.